WDJS Productions offers biblical teachings of God's Word for you. Our prayer is that wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times.
Praise the Lord. This is Brother Fred, and I'm excited to preach the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence in Him. So get your hearts prepared and turn to your Bibles with me. Welcome to part two of Biblical Leadership. We see that God's chosen leadership is granted servant authority over the lives of their disciples. That isn't a form of control. It's the authority given by God to gently lead and guide those who are the disciples to where they need to be, taught and trained to be disciples in Christ Jesus. And therefore, it is profitable that these disciples choose to willingly submit to this God-ordained order in their lives. You know, brothers and sisters, at a time when the true church sees herself as an army of God, she also must acknowledge the authority of His appointed and ordained leaders. Good drill instructors love their soldiers. They will rigorously train them to survive and be victorious in battle. The disciples' responsibility in Ephesians 4:11 through 13, it says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And all these things that it says right here that are for the saints, for the disciples, for the ministry and edifying of the body, it is because the five apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are all in order, just like Jesus set in. You know, Jesus was all five of those, and Scripture tells that He was the apostle. He was a prophet. He was actually the prophet, evangelist. He evangelized. He was the pastor, our shepherd, and He was teacher, rabbi. It says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." As disciples of Jesus Christ, we need to cheerily submit to God-ordained leadership. Then God is able to bring us to maturity and perfection in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Only through His faithful ministers can God accomplish these things in our lives as disciples. We will read the Word, pray, spend time with Jesus, and be accountable to godly leadership. You know, in Ephesians 4:14 through 16, it says why we need these ministries, these prophets and these apostles and these evangelists, pastors and teachers. It says that we, as disciples, be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him, into Jesus Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. I love this. The whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working. That's right. We need the effectual working in the measure of every part. Every person has a part in the body of Christ, that maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself, and it says here, in love. The disciple will only reap the fullness of God's blessings as he or she is diligently walking in the love of God by the Spirit of God, constantly hearing and heeding His voice, and quick to obey the commandments of God. Now, not many people want to do this, because right now, in this world, we're pretty comfortable. We have most of all the things that we ever want. We can run here and run there to get what we need and know that God is right there all the time. But are we always with Him? You know, are we in Him as much as He is in us? He can be in us, but are we in Him? We got to be in the Spirit right where He says to be at that time so we don't miss those blessings through the obedience. So it says, in the fullness by the Holy Spirit in Acts 7:55, it's the fullness of Jesus Christ and by the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And by operating in the fullness of God, the glorious church in Ephesians 5:27 will arise in the power and the love and victory. Let's turn to Colossians 1:18 through 22. It says, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's right. Through discipleship, these are the things that we strive for, that we would present ourselves holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. We have a way out of this thing called bondage. We have a way out into the newness of life. And having the readiness of mind with the mind of Christ, we don't have to think the same that we did yesterday if it's those things of depression and or maybe bondage to something of this world, being caught in the ensnared in the things of this world. No, we are free from those things in Christ Jesus when we are in Christ Jesus. So we get to drive our will into Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the only one, the risen one that can take us away from all these things of this world in the way that he so wants in blessing us. Thank you, Father, that we are your children. Hallelujah. Stay tuned, and I'll be back in a moment.
Hi, I'm Darlene, one of the nine. Nine of us author two books. Our first one, titled Hutterites, Our Story to Freedom, describes our testimonies of growing up in an overbearing religious lifestyle and our life-changing decision to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We wrote our second book, Since We Told the Truth, Our Life Can Never Be the Same. We write about our lives now and offer a new perspective of our society of the United States and how to successfully overcome those challenges currently facing us with true solutions according to the Word of God. We are visiting Southern Wisconsin on Saturday, April 4th at the Barnes & Noble at the Southland Center in Racine. We will be there for the entire local author event from 10:30 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. As part of the event, we will be giving a presentation between 2 and 3 p.m. We are looking forward to seeing you there.
Welcome back to part 2 of Biblical Leadership. You know, the Bible is the truth, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the truth. And we have to live by that as Christians, the whole counsel of God. We're commanded by Scripture to not put our trust in man. Now, I know for some of you, you may have a little difficulty with this at first, but I know if you'll listen and look at Scripture, we'll have no problem with this. I personally don't put my trust in any man. I don't put my trust in horses and chariots, in anything of the world. I put my trust in God, because nowhere can I find to trust man. In fact, let me read some Scripture. And by the way, by following God's commandment, we will not be tripped up by fallible men. It says in Jeremiah 17:5-7, thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. One more time. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. When we begin to trust in man, and we trust in ourselves, the flesh, my arm of flesh, then my heart is actually departing from the Lord. It says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. But it says, listen to this, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Jeremiah 9:4-5 says, take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. We are, however, to entrust our hearts to those who are godly and worthy of double honor in Christ Jesus. So, no, I don't trust in man. I don't trust in horses and chariots. No, I don't trust in any man. Amen? Because I am to trust. It's a command. Trust in the Lord. It says in 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So the elders, remember, are again those five offices of the Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians 4:11, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. There is no other elders that were of the church in Christ Jesus, as Jesus set up the church with the apostles and the first disciples. It was always the fivefold, meaning all those gifts that Jesus gave at his ascension to all of those who were there as his first apostles and disciples. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go on to 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humility sets well with Father God. When we are humble before him and fear his holy name, we become his children in the fullness of what he so desires to work in our hearts and through us, body, soul, and spirit, that he will be glorified. Praise the Lord. From my heart, I certainly hope that you've listened to all these teachings, and with your Bibles, of course, because, you know, it's just like Paul said with the Bereans. Those Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians. And those who of the Bereans, they tested in the Word. They went to the Word to see if Paul, what Paul was saying, was so. And so, as much as the Bereans, I pray that you become those who will search the Word and find by the Holy Spirit the revelation that so God wants you to have. So I pray right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord God, you would open the eyes and the ears to every listener here, Lord God, that those things of you, of the kingdom of God, would set in their heart and in their minds from now through eternity, Lord, those things of your perfect will, those things of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the kingdom of God. I pray a hedge of protection, the blood of Jesus, over each person hearing, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, for salvation. Now, those who may have never received Jesus Christ or need to rededicate, I pray in the name of Jesus that right now, as we say this prayer together, that, Lord Jesus, you will have your way. And these who confess you as Lord and Savior and know that you were raised from the dead will be saved, born again. Father God, in the name of Jesus, repeat after me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I receive you into my heart, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as my Lord and Savior. I know that you died on the cross for my sins, so I ask for forgiveness for those sins. I repent. I turn away from these things, and I turn to you, Lord Jesus. Save me. I know that you were raised from the dead, and therefore the only Messiah, risen Savior. You are now mine. I receive you into my heart as you have chosen me for life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening. And may the truth of the Word cause you to prosper and be of great success, all to the glory of God.
May the Father of glory give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, and make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Thank you for listening. For more teachings, visit wdjsproductions.com.